B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're going to submit that tape to the Sports Hub Hall of Fame right there.
Put that in the 10-year anniversary mix for next week.
I'm not speaking a second. This is just...
You know what it's like to try and work.
Speaking the last two, it doesn't matter.
Put that in the special.
Where's Dennis? Fix this damn jack.
What's wrong with it?
The jack is broken. The headphone jack here.
Oh, okay.
So I'm plugged in over here.
Okay.
But it was turned down the volume, and I'm pressing buttons, and I can't hear anything.
I got
over
it.
Here.
All right. We'll let someone know about the problem. I bet someone hasn't let them know that there's a problem with that, and that's why it needs repair.
How long did it take to fix the app? Like 14 hours.
That was not a Dennis issue. I will let them know. If we could let them know, I bet they'll be able to fix that. That's what I find is the biggest problem, is that no one tells them when things need repair. Oh, okay. Dan Shaughnessy is with us here in our studios, Townfair Tire Studios. Yes.
I'm looking at the full MLS listing for the Brady House now.
Yes. Is it up?
All cell phones checked at entry of home, pre-qualification before all scheduled showings. Buyer must sign an NDA before appointment schedule.
Oh, my God.
So you have to sign a non-disclosure agreement before you even schedule an appointment
like
to look
Derek
at the
Jeter
house
party.
Here's a question I have.
They're actually giving tours, though, which is
scary. Here's a question I have. Do you have to go through some sort of background or credit check?
I would say yes.
Before even getting a showing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think pre-qualification.
Oh, is that what it says?
It says pre-qualification before all scheduled showings. What does that mean? Qualified for a loan, qualified through the FBI.
Do you have money?
Do you have $40 million?
Yes. You have $40 million and a clean criminal record. We're going to check everything before you come in the house.
Right. You saw that movie, I Love You, Man, right? With Jason Segel, where he just shows up and eats at house listings.
It's Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. That was good.
Busting,
that's a good
busting,
one. Yeah.
Breaking wind.
Hey.
All right.
You should do that.
It's a good movie.
We will get back to more thoughts on Tom Brady. That is going to dominate the conversation today, no doubt about it. But we did want to touch on the Red Sox. They won the game last night. That's exciting.
Hey, the Rays lost. They gained a grand.
Wow.
They gained a game in the wild card.
Wow. Dan, is it over?
Beetle, I mean, it's never over until it's over. It feels pretty safe to say that they're not going to be in the playoffs, and that's amazing to me.
Well, that means it's over.
If you didn't have that night with Heidi Watney down in Baltimore, that infamous night where you got everything wrong, is that in the back of your mind protecting you from making an outward statement?
A little bit.
They're
a little bit.
Yeah.
You want to live in infamy, you know, which that one does. If you Google that, it always comes
saying
up.
There's
you know.
A chance.
Yeah, they have a 50% chance. Alex Speer actually wrote a good piece today in the Globe explaining, you know, how hard this is, how unusual it is. Like, Tampa was more behind Boston in 2011 and made it to the wild card. But there's teams ahead of them. There's three teams ahead of them. It's, Texas has fewer losses than they do.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's going to be, you know, they've got to go like, play like 700 ball.
They're going to play 34-14, Dan. 34-14.
Well, and they've been a 5-22 team this year. So I don't see that happening.
Yeah, it's just hard to believe. This will be one of the all-time disgraces to have that payroll, that star power, the same team that won the World Series last year, and not be one of the top 10 teams. And you're playing in a league where only 10 of 15 are even trying. And you know, and last night, now you've got a team in that's not trying, a tanking team for the Royals, so they should sweep them. But this is going to go down as a really unforgivable, horrible year. In my view, it is worse than a Celtic year. It is.
By the way, for all the crying that they were doing about the umpiring behind home plate over the weekend, did you see Brandon Workman's final pitch last night for the final out?
Got a little break on that, did he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with the tying run at the plate, and Workman threw a ball. It was above the strike zone.
Yep.
And punched him out and was like, "Woo, there we go. And our long nightmare is over."
Oh, they're not worried about the league holding him accountable?
No.
Where
no
was Chris Sale after the game? Did Chris Sale have any comments about
it? No mention of it.
Was Chris Sale concerned about whether or not the umpire gets to keep his job?
Yeah. I bet T-Bone was watching until the end of that game. No, not even T-Bone. T-Bone watches everything.
It was hard to be there on Saturday when that was going on because there was so many things to get to. I'm upstairs writing the story. And being in the room with Sale and being in the room with Cora, and it kept saying, wait a minute, this game was 9-2. And I mean, I saw the whole thing unfold. I was really watching intently when that stuff happened. I said to the guys around me, he's hacked off about that 0-2 pitch, and he's not coming out of it. And you could just see it all coming in advance. But then the fact that they leaned on that after a 9-2 game and to that degree.
A very really mature response by everybody.
Very embarrassing.
Involved.
And it did not help to have Alex, you know, bringing it up also. I mean, again, they're not going to hear about the one they got in their favor last night. There won't be any call for robotic umps.
I know.
It was crazy.
It's weird how that happens. You know, Alex Cora, there's been a little bit more focus put on him during this, and there should be more focus put on him. I don't think he deserves to be fired or anything drastic like that. Okay. Let's not be crazy. But it's a good time to be questioning the manager and how he's handled this season and how he's handled adversity. Here he was, Dan. I don't know if you caught this answer a week ago, but this is him last week at this time talking about the team and sort of their struggling, and they were in the middle of it a week ago, the bad losing streak.
We believe in our group, and we have our goals. You know, our goal hasn't changed. It's to win the World Series. So, you know, there's different ways to get to the World Series. Last year we took one route, and this year we're taking another one.
Okay, so that's him a week ago saying, last year we got to the World Series, we took one road, this year we'll take another one. Right? Still talking about the World Series in the middle of all this losing, in the middle of being a team that's not even in a playoff spot, being, you know, the fourth team in the wild card race, and he's talking about the World Series, which I thought was a little out of touch and a little unnecessary.
It's an experience.
Right. And again, I'll cut him slack. He's very cooperative. He answers everything, and he's up there 2 hours a day talking to media. So
he's trying to be upbeat. I think this is an experience on his part.
I think he changed his tune because this is what he was saying last night before the game.
Like I said yesterday, we know where we at. So it's fine. You know, we're whatever in the wild card, whatever in the division, we got to come here and win series. That's the bottom line. You win every series from now on, and you put yourself in a good spot. You know, it doesn't look great as far as like math and percentages and all that, but I do believe that we have talent. You know, and just about putting a long streak, you know, like a streak of good pitching together. You know, we did it for 7 days, 8 days, whatever it was, and you saw what happened. And you know, we're like 5 days from turning this around. You know, the guys pitched well, you know, 5 days in a row, and I think the narrative changes. You know, we have to do it. We can't talk about it the whole time. Like, oh, we'll be fine. No, you know, right now we're not fine, and we know it. So we just have to pitch better and, you know, put better at bats and play baseball. You know, play better baseball. That's bottom line. And I think the guys know. We talked a little bit yesterday, you know, on the bus and on the plane, you know, and they understand where we're at. It's no, I've been saying it alone. There's no hiding. So just show up today and start playing good baseball.
Now we're taking things day by day. Last week we're talking about the World Series. Now we're talking about taking it at bat by at bat, day by day,
pitch
by pitch, and game by game. And we just got to win this series, and we got to let's focus on today and the next 5 days. Let's not focus on the whole season. We know where we're at, and we know we're in trouble right now. Is what he's saying.
How'd your boss make money?
How about
numbers,
that?
Right? Numbers,
yeah, big time.
Did that sound like he came out of a numbers meeting after what he said the day prior? Like, oh well, it's really about the division and, you know, the wild card, and we know where we're at and relative to each, and we need to get 7 good starts together. Like, he's mathematically seems like to be zero in on things.
Yeah, new math could
new
very
math.
Well, could very
I don't
well
know.
Be.
I didn't take it like that.
That's a different tone, Beetle. That's a different tone than the day before.
I still wonder. Underplayed what went on at the players only meeting on Saturday.
After that didn't work.
After
whatever
that embarrassing game, they went out and lost 2 more.
You know what?
It's unusual.
I've been through those, and we've had those are such just fake things that are thrown out there. Not that it's not fake that it didn't happen, but it's a bunch of guys that get in there, a bunch of blowhards that say stuff, and you got 4 guys in the back of the room rolling their eyes. You got 2 people that are trying to act like they care. You got a bunch of middle guys saying, can we just like, I'm trying to file my nails down here. I'm biting nails. We going to lunch after this? What are we doing? You're cutting into my hotel time. You know? Those things are such a...
It was
so overstated and overblown.
It was after the first game. They had to stay around. No one was going anywhere. They were there for the next 8 hours. And we came out of Cora's office, and the doors were closed to the clubhouse. Ooh. And it was players only, and the manager was not included. That was unusual. And then they opened the doors, and that's when Sale talked to us. But it was, and you know, this comes on the heels of Cora saying he was going to have a meeting in New York on Friday, and then going all goofy to explain that there wasn't one because he was either joking or he changed his mind, or he meets them all every day individually. It was a strange thing. And then they have a players-only closed-door meeting the next day. Weird.
617-779-0985. Thoughts on Sale, thoughts on Price, and your calls are on the way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zo and Bertrand.
Now, before we get back to the calls, Dan, I just wanted to say that the way the Red Sox go from World Series winners and successful seasons to complete dumpster fires is something special.
Yeah,
how really, does this happen?
There's no one like that because, I mean, you know, hey, the Sox have won four World Series in a century. We will always have to remind them of that because their supporters will always throw that in your face when you say what you just said. But the Yankees, the Dodgers, I mean, those teams never bottom out like that. I mean, the Sox have done it like half of their seasons in the last decade. I mean, world championships, but last
year. Yeah, but I mean, they know how to tank.
They're like a yo-yo.
Yeah.
It's either win it or get just your ass kicked.
You know, 2013, they win, you know, nearly 100 games and win the World Series. And then the next year, they win 71 games.
You know, last place in 14 and 15.
And they finish last place. And then they finish last place again in 2015. Mm. And I don't know if they're in danger of finishing in last place again this year. But
no, they're not.
But they're not a good team. And I think it's going to get worse. I don't think it's going to get better.
And they do this with the highest payroll in baseball.
Yes, that's the other part of it.
When 10 teams make the postseason, and you have the highest payroll in baseball, and you're not one of those 10 teams, that is beyond belief.
It shouldn't happen the way that it does. And I think they're going to need to make some organizational changes up top. I said this the other day, so you know I've been harping on this for more than a few weeks now. I think Dombrowski's got to go. I think that's their next move that they got to do because what's the next thing this team has to do?
And I think it would have been too hard to pull off like the Betts type deal at the trade deadline because there's too many working parts. Like, okay, if you need a new direction and you're going to get rid of Dave Dombrowski at the end of the year, it seems like the offseason is the point where you move a guy like
that. Well, I don't think he's invested in the future.
And yeah, I mean, but that's how you restock it.
Definitely not the guy you want to restock the system.
You're not restocking unless you're getting rid of the premier player like that to get stuff in, to get stuff back.
Well, dump Dombrowski. That's what I'm saying right now.
You're reading my mind on this, Beetle, because within the next 20 minutes or so, I have a column posting, and I just do not believe he will be the GM baseball boss of this team next year. I do not. He has one more year in his contract. I do not see him moving forward. I don't think he'll be the guy making
You think
the call.
They'll do it?
I think it'll be done at the end of the year, yes. I think he will not be back next year. And
excellent.
You know, he's not the man to lead them into the next phase of Red Sox baseball. And the farm system's got to be rebuilt. He's not your guy on that.
They're not doing it in season, though, right?
No, I would be very surprised.
We had a caller yesterday who was like, who's going to pay the price right now? I'm like, nobody. Nobody's going to get fired.
The only guy that could pay the price right now would be Lavangie, and that would be, he should just be reassigned at some point. I mean, they need to reassign the pitching coach to, he's been a loyal guy, hardest working guy, 1991, first year with the Red Sox, but this is apparently not his forte.
All right, so Dave Dombrowski could go in the offseason. That makes me happy because I think that's a move they should make.
I believe that.
It's time for someone new.
Yes.
Time to go get someone new.
I believe that.
And go back to a Theo type, someone who's going to build in the farm system, someone who's really committed to drafting and developing.
You just don't want to become what the Tigers became when Dombrowski left there. Oof. And that's what and again, it shouldn't happen. They have deep pockets here. You've got core guys. You've got Devers, Bogarts, Vasquez.
My thought is if there's any moves to be made this offseason with any of your guys that are on the roster now, he shouldn't be the guy making the moves.
Well, Betts is the one, and that's...
He should not be the guy deciding that deal.
Right. I don't think he will be.
All right. 617-779-0985. Bobby's in Revere. Bobby.
Hey, Bob.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hey, Bob.
I'd like to talk about the ignorance of the Red Sox fans.
Oh, okay.
You have an over-talented team that is laying down. They were lucky they won last night. Mm-hmm. You have a cocky manager
who
is not making all the moves that he made last night.
Okay, I mean, what did he do?
What do you want? What's your indictment on the fans?
What does that have to do with the fans? Yeah. I'm not sure I follow.
Hello?
Bob?
Okay, that call went nowhere.
Bob passed out.
James is in the car. Hi, James.
Jimmy.
How you doing, boys?
James.
Congrats on 10 years. I just want to talk about Cora on Saturday getting thrown out.
Yeah.
I honestly thought it was a good move. He went out there knowing he was going to get thrown out. He got his money's worth. I mean, the game didn't change from there, but at least he made a stand. You know, it showed he still had some fire in his heart. I think that counts for something.
Yeah, you could look at that as the thanks, James. The I'm getting thrown out because I'm trying to spark my team.
Right.
Rejection.
He was trying to show support for Sale.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew when he came out, he was out there to get thrown out because they weren't going to lift him.
You send
a pitching coach out if you're not going to lift him. The fact the manager was coming out of the situation was only one reason. The seven-man huddle.
To get tossed. Mound,
and to get tossed by the ump. Yes. And he mission accomplished. I would have liked to have seen a little more demonstration. If he's going to get tossed, get your money's worth. You know, cover up the dirt and cover up the plate and dirt or something like that. Or, you know,
a little
more demonstration. You know, a little Earl Weaver. Kicking and screaming, but no, he just...
Some flair for the showbiz aspect of it.
Yeah.
Earl used to throw the umpire out after he got thrown out. Mm. Earl would point the umpire and eject him. Mm-hmm. That was the way to do it.
Did you happen to see Aaron Boone get tossed a couple weeks ago?
That was the Savages,
Savages?
Right?
Yeah. Kevin's in Maine. Hi, Kevin.
Hey.
Hey,
Kevin.
How's Maine?
How's it going, guys?
Hey, Kevin.
What you doing up there?
Congratulations on 10 years.
Oh, thanks.
I just want to bring up a couple of points. It seems like there's a lot of wide receivers, okay, this year, and we're putting all this money into wide receivers. Now, we got, $5 million left on, that we can cover up for next year. Wouldn't that go into Brady? I might be dumb on this, but 5 years and then all these wide receivers leaving, you know, we toss out, you know, we bring them in, we toss them out, we bring them in, we toss them out. Wouldn't there be enough money for Brady to get that money?
I don't know. I don't understand your math.
We bring them in, we toss them out.
But who are you tossing out, who are you getting rid of, and who's getting the money? Like, what's your math?
I don't follow.
Yeah. Skip on.
I'm going to go to the next one.
That's okay.
Skip on down.
I'm going to go to Roy. Roy in Fort Lauderdale. Hey. What's at Fort Myers.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Roy?
Fort Lauderdale. Fort Lauderdale via New York. Big Red Sox fan growing up in New York, believe it or not. Right. But I've been on this Dave Dombrowski thing for years. I know they won it last year, but everything was just a magical carpet ride with Bradley and Pierce and Price. I mean, the guy's killed the Marlins. He's killed the Tigers. He has no farm system at all, so he couldn't make any moves. I just think he's so overrated. It's not even close to Cashman. This guy's got highest payroll in baseball, and look at this team. He's built this bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, the Cashman comparison, he doesn't come up well this year because what the Yankees are doing and have done, given the injuries they've had and these no-name guys, they're bringing up guys out of their farm system that are producing, and the Trays, that third baseman they got from Toronto last year, was a piece of chattel. He was hitting cleanup on Sunday. I mean, they've got...
They're killing Cashman in New York for not doing anything at
LeMahieu, the deadline. LeMahieu, I mean, the guy's almost the MVP. They got him last winter, and they have no starting pitching. They lost their ace for the season thus far, and they're on a pace to win like 105 games. I mean, I know he didn't get a start at the deadline, but I think he's GM of the year right now.
But I'm with you. I mean, I don't get it. They're crushing him for not doing anything at the deadline, you know, because it's the deadline, and if you're a good team, you should be adding to, you know, shore things up. I'm thinking you're in first place, you've got a comfortable lead, and you've had a great year, and you've had things work out to this point.
Their whole thing is to get ready for the division series, the best of five. I mean, that's, you know.
The problem for them is that the Astros got better. And the Astros made additions.
Yeah.
And did it at the last minute.
But it's very likely it'll be Yanks-Astros because, you know, the Yanks will play Cleveland or Minnesota in that first round. And the Stros will get the wild card winner, and then the Yanks will play the Stros.
Rob and Taunton with a question for Zoe. Rob.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Rob.
Good morning. My question is for all of you about Brady. Do you think that going back a few years ago that Brady had to deal with that whole Deflategate, and I kind of feel like he wasn't supported by anyone in the organization, especially Belichick. Do you think that has anything to do with him and these contract negotiations just not being like the best that he could get? I'll hang up and listen on air. Thank you, guys.
Well, I mean, the contracts are what it is, right? I mean, he's addressed that, and he's openly stated that, you know, he sort of
You got to understand everybody's got to fit under cap, and if you want good players around you, you can't make the type of money guys like, you know, Matt Ryan make. What you called him, Dan, a bum.
Well,
as far as the Deflategate, Bill had to separate himself somewhat because Bill's already, you know, been slapped on the hand from transgressions prior, Spygate. And if he gets nailed on that, then you're risking a suspension of the coach. So he kind of separated, but he didn't. He's like, look, you know, the quarterbacks handle the footballs. They do what they want with it.
Yeah. What about from ownership, hey, though?
Ownership went to bat for him, and then ownership got out to the owners' meetings out in San Fran where you were, and then he had to change his tune. Robert Kraft landed at the Super Bowl, and he wanted an apology. He demanded an apology.
That was great.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then the tone changed once he got around the rest of the
Well, then he wrote the check and said, fine, take the draft picks.
He does that with everything. He always wants it both ways. Yeah. Same way with the Orchids of Asia, whatever. You know, he apologized and then said he did nothing wrong. I mean, you know, he always wants it both ways, wants to appease both groups, and I understand that. So,
yeah.
Yes, with Deflategate, he definitely. When he showed up in, where were we, Arizona?
Yep.
That was great. You know, I mean, you could tell.
Oh, he wanted to go to war.
He was just fired. Pissed. He was fired up. He had written a speech on the plane, got a little help from associates and friends and family, and then let her rip, demanding apologies, and then it was got to San Francisco. Was like, yeah, we'll accept what they do.
But to the question, is there any residual effect? Is there any shrapnel laying around in terms of the way Brady feels about the team because of that?
He took one for the team for everybody on that one. He did, and I think. It changed things a little bit for him, but I don't think it changed too much with him and Bob Kraft, which is the important relationship that is ongoing and eternal.
All right.
He got to fill some of that bucket up, Hardy.
I want to ask Dan Shaughnessy if he really believes Dennis Eckersley has impacted David Price enough that he has gone on a four-game slide. We're going to ask Dan Shaughnessy that question after these headlines with Hardy. And Dan's dates are coming up at 11:50.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Honestly, I just think it's trash. You know, he had an unbelievable career, 25 seasons. He's a Hall of Famer. I saw his special on MLB Network. It was cool. The one thing that definitely stood out to me, he had zero former teammates in that interview. Not one. Talking about him. It was him talking about himself. If anybody ever does a special on me after baseball, I won't need to go on that interview. I will have former teammates. I will have former coaches. They can all vouch for me.
That is David Price. We'll get to him in one moment. I want to thank the Lobster Trap for coming all the way to the Sports Hub today. They are celebrating their 50th anniversary this year, the Lobster Trap in Bourne. Just down the road from the Bourne Bridge, 290 Shore Road in Bourne. They were founded in 1969.
Best food in the Cape.
50 years. Dan Shaughnessy.
How long have you been doing
it? Is always here for the food drops. It's
best
unreal.
Radio food ever.
Oh, yeah. Says a lot.
It's a good one today.
Man.
Woo!
Yeah.
Now you've got a full restaurant there. Catering, distribution company, they've got it all. So their menu features Cape Cod classics, fried seafood platters, lobster rolls. You had the lobster roll. How was it, Dan?
Tremendous.
Seafood tower, reimagined dishes, including ahi tuna.
Yep. Little Asian flair to the cooking, too, which is good.
Well, pad thai, lobster Reuben. They got a new patio, enclosed patio. Wow, they've got a lot going on. Live music, Thursdays, Saturdays. Check them out online, lobstertrap.net. Their food is out of this world. They were kind enough to bring us some nice hats. Hardy's rocking the hat.
Hardy's wearing a hat. They actually have a fish market there, and the crab meat, the crab dips. Bluefin, blue dip. It's awesome.
I actually just tried I had the chicken sandwich. I'm about to try the quahog as well.
Oh, their stuffies are good.
Woo! Yeah. Wow.
Hardy's got a nice hat. Real nice hat.
Yeah. Love
the
hat.
The gear there is great, too.
And they're very nice people.
50 years. The moon landing?
50 years. They started the same summer we landed on the moon.
Woodstock and the lobster.
All in the summer of 69.
The lobster.
Nice hat.
Trap.
I'm
trap.
Reading it. The lobster trap.
Yes.
Moon landing.
Trap it.
Woodstock. Lobster trap.
Get trapped.
50 years old.
That's coincidence?
Right. So can't go check them out. Lobstertrap.net is the website, and they're on Shore Road in Bourne. Just a short drive from the Bourne.
Take the Shore Road.
And if you go in there, you might see Zoe there.
Never know.
Throwing him back.
Never know.
That's where I saw Mabel.
That was David Price on Dennis Eckersley a couple weeks back. He's gone on a complete skid here.
Right there. Starts right there.
Four games. ERA over 10 in this stretch. He's given up a boatload of runs. He's been downright terrible.
20.
The worst start was this past weekend. 2 2/3. He had to get lifted early. It's been really bad for David Price since this all went down with Dennis Eckersley.
17 innings, 30 hits, 20 runs.
Is this the reason? Is this, Dan? No, I mean, I'm having a hard time buying this.
Of course. It's just... It's
Dennis Eckersley happened, now this?
It's unfortunate for him, that the timing of it. I mean, you know, there could be arm issue. I mean, we know his dog died. He had the
who cares? It's a dog.
The child being born, which is a very uplifting thing for any family. And that was after the three. But the four starts, yes, since he felt the need to do that, he has not followed. You know, if you do that, you got to follow through. It started off with getting his ears pinned back by the Orioles. And right then you knew it was bad. The Red Sox have lost all four of those starts that we just cited, not surprisingly. And he was 5-2, sailing along with a 3.15 when he decided to do this.
Having a good year, not a great year, but good enough.
Yeah, he was their best starter. Yeah. And,
do you know people that like that, though, that need to be beaten down, that need to be not coddled?
Right, but it seems to...
Like, abuse me.
When stuff gets in his head, it seems to bring out the worst in him.
It was going too good.
You know, because we all know he had the great postseason. I've always believed in his talent.
Shut up.
But, man, this was...
you know what I'm talking about.
Unfortunate.
Like, it's always like, I need a bad relationship, you know? Oof. That's what just, you know, and I get bored. It's almost like he got bored this year. Things are going too good for him.
And he was very composed after the game the other night in New York, the Sunday night game. There was no animosity, no bristling. He took it. He explained it. It was a very flat line, almost. Not a lot of emotion. But, the timing of it, the optics of it are bad. It's like things were going along great, and why reintroduce that? Not good.
No, not good at all.
Nope.
617-779-0985. Mike is in Middleborough. Mike, you there?
Mikey!
Hey, I'm here. What's going on, guys?
What's happening?
No, Dan, okay, I got everybody loves Dana LeVay. I know people that know him. He's a great guy. He's an awesome guy. We all get this. But he should have been gone weeks ago.
Who are we talking about?
Dana LeVay.
LeVay.
Right, well, I mean, yeah, you can make the case the pitching coach is the fall guy when this stuff happens. That's not and
exactly, never, it always is.
He's never pitched, and it's sort of an experimental thing, and it has not worked out in their favor. And I don't pin this on LeVay, but their approach to pitching, I have a problem with in general, which is they throw too many pitches, and this causes the starters to run up their pitch counts, and they get out of the games. You hand it over to a bullpen earlier than you need to. Last night, Beetle.
Brian Butterfield 2.0.
We don't want the chaos of the ball in play. We need to strike everybody out. That's how you get Workman throwing 55 pitches in two innings, curveballs in the dirt. That's how, going into last night, they had 700 pitches, more than any team in baseball.
Oh.
And that's
so why they're certainly not economical.
That's why the games are so long, because they don't want to let you do your own. You know, don't let the hitters get themselves out. Porcello was up to 53 at the end of three innings last night. He came out in the fourth, three batters, eight pitches. That's pitching. Do that. Don't pound 55 pitches for three innings. Strike everybody out. Get to 3-2. Foul balls off. Their philosophy is hurting them. It's one of the reasons that their pitching has been bad. I'm not going to pin the philosophy on LeVay. He's not powerful enough to create that philosophy. This is organization-wide disease, which goes to their over-analytics and the chaos of the ball in play, which they preach against.
So he should be fired. He should be let go. But you say
he should be reassigned.
Why reassigned? Why?
Because he's a loyal. He's been there since '91. He's a good baseball guy for them. He can do a lot of things to help you.
All right.
Yeah, you can use him. He's definitely an asset. That would be unfair.
Butterfield 2.0. Local guy. He's from Whitman.
Whitman Hansen. He's in a Whitman Hansen.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. Bring it out.
The Whitman Hansen High School Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he roots for the Pats.
Nick Cofardo.
Write me another story about that.
Yeah.
He's a local guy, just like Butterfield is from Maine.
He's worthy. He should not lose his job. That would be total scapegoating, total unfair. But he probably should not be pitching coach at this stage.
In any so because he's been here since '91, he doesn't lose his job. Anyone else in all of baseball, when you are a pitching coach and you deserve to lose your job, you just get fired. I mean, that's
just lose your
that's
job.
Major League Baseball. It's professional sports. You lose your job.
Reassignment.
I'm to what? I mean, where do you want to put
plenty
him?
Plenty of things. He's all the stuff. Bullpen coach. You know, organization.
Oh, that'll go well. I was the pitching coach, and then they demoted me back to bullpen coach. Sometimes you just need the clean break, Dan.
You make him the manager of your Pawtucket team.
Sometimes you might have to just remove him from the on-field major league staff.
That would be really unfair. That would be wrong.
I don't think it would be.
Nope.
I don't think it would be unfair. Wrong. I think that's the risk you take when you have a job at the major league level. That's the risk you take. You're not guaranteed a job because you've been there a long time.
He's been good a long time. He's
not so good right
not
now.
Not good at pitching coach. Having a pitching coach who never pitched is
that's the risk
risky.
You take when you take promotions.
Yeah. I mean, Dave Duncan
pulled it off.
At some point,
you're going to peter out.
How many pitching coaches right? never pitched? That's unusual.
Yeah. Well, that's the risk he took when he took the gig. You know, he got promoted to that gig. That if you fail, you get fired and you're out of a job. David's in the car. David.
Hello. How are you?
Hello.
David.
How are you?
Tom Brady's going to finish his career somewhere else on a 3-year deal starting next year. So how can I answer your questions so you guys understand and accept that?
Okay.
Well, I have many questions.
Are you his agent?
What team?
Yeah, where's he going?
Well, he wants to go to the Giants, but I don't think that's going to happen because of the guy they drafted this year. But it looks like Miami and Tennessee are good landing spots right now. But the reason he signed the deal the way he did is to give his agent a year to shop it around the league. Everyone now knows he's a free agent next year.
He's going to be 43 years old. How much shopping can you do?
A year's worth right now.
Dan, I've been saying this for a year and a half. Everyone's going to laugh at me. Watch it happen.
So hold on. What's the number you're going to give him per year? At 43, what number?
I think he's going to sign a $75 million guaranteed deal is kind of the number he's thinking of.
So 25.
25 a year, all guaranteed. Put it all in escrow, make it a guaranteed number.
Hey, the New York Knicks don't have a football franchise. How's that? Mm. You're going to have to find a real sucker to do that.
I don't think so.
You think that Tom Brady can get a 3-year deal for $75 million?
Yes.
No.
That is ridiculous.
Maybe not with the team he wants to play for. Somebody would be willing to offer that up.
Yes, somebody would.
Get Jim Irsay on a bender, something like that. You know, I mean, I guess.
Colts, $25 million a year? $25 million a year for 3 years? Do you know what he's worth to a franchise that doesn't have a quarterback to sell tickets?
You can sell the T-shirts for the 1 year.
Miami.
That'll be great. Yeah.
Miami.
Really.
Flores with his preposterous.
Barry Bonds, easy it would to get a
Barry
return
Bonds
on the investment.
You know
how easy it would to get a return on the investment on the $75
million
as an NFL franchise? Which, by the way, they all print money anyway. Yeah, he could get that.
Is it just the age?
You know what? He'll
is
prove it to
just
you.
The age
if
thing,
he wants
Dan?
It.
Well, again, he's in a system where we get the best of Tom Brady. Put him anywhere else, it's not going to work at this age. He can't, so you're the quarterback.
Put him in a downfield Raiders offense, it doesn't work. I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, he's not going to the Raiders.
Run his offense, teach his offense. Peyton Manning did it in Denver for, what, 2 years, and then he fell off a cliff.
Ugly train wreck finish for him.
Yeah.
And if the money's that important to him or sticking to the Patriots, I don't believe either of those things are true. So I say this never happens.
Dan's dates are coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Damn it, I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
You can just start, Dan.
Sorry, was talking to the boss.
Oh,
got pulled aside.
Oh, you got in trouble, huh?
No.
A little bit?
No. All good things. All good things for everyone. All
excellent.
Right, Dan. Today is August 6th.
August 6th.
Yes. August 6th. Let's have at it.
Not a lot of great birthdays in this day.
Happy birthday to a number of people.
How old?
Happy birthday to my father.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Mr. Bertrand.
Yeah. Happy birthday to Michael Felger. His birthday as well.
Oh, it's Felger's birthday.
And Tony Maserati's son. Also his birthday today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Another little meatball,
that's pretty good. That's better than
turned into a great birthday.
Yep, so happy birthday. Yep.
I wonder what Felger got for his birthday. What do you get a guy that's got everything?
August 6th, happy birthday, Dad. So who does my father share a birthday with?
David Robinson. Zoe, how old do you think the Admiral is?
I'm going to go 49.
He is 54 years old.
Okay.
This actress, I can't pronounce her name very well. Vera...
Vera Wang.
No, that's the dressmaker.
Amiga?
Who?
The one in The Departed. Vera. F-A-R-M-I-G-A.
Who?
Farmiga.
Oh.
Vera Farmiga.
Farmiga.
Valeria. Yeah.
Right. Just ask Hardy; he'll make it up.
She's the one given it in a movie with so much terrible dialogue. She has some of the worst lines that she has to deliver.
Well,
your vulnerability is really freaking me out right now. Is it real? Who talks like that? Nobody ever. But she had to in that movie.
There's a good line though, where he tells her that the Irish are impervious to psychoanalysis.
Yeah. Again. People don't talk like that.
True. How old do you think she is?
I don't care.
Oh, she's 45.
She's 46. Right on there.
Nice. Good job, Hardy.
This person is no longer with us, but born on this date in Pittsburgh in 1928, Andy Warhol. He is significant to the program because he has the tomato can logo.
Uh-huh.
This is just so famous.
I was watching something the other day where Andy Warhol was a judge at a department store in the 1980s for a Madonna look-alike contest. And I thought, Andy Warhol lowered himself to that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow, what was the check? What check did they give him to do that?
He just convinced himself it was just kitschy enough to be cool. No.
Yes, it was when Madonna had just sort of blown up.
Wow,
material girl. And it was at like I think it may have been like Macy's in New York City. And he agreed to be a judge in a Madonna look-alike contest.
Well, wasn't he in a couple of, cameos in a couple of bad movies, too?
He maybe needed the money.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of judges, this is unrelated to August 6th, but do you know that fanboy Judge Richard Berman is presiding in the Jeffrey Epstein case?
I did not know that.
He is. He's the one that denied bail, and he is ruling on all things.
Wow.
I mean, so his life's gone in an interesting direction. That was like 4 years ago. He's
a friend of yours, Richard Berman. You've talked to him, have you not?
No, I have not.
He's innocent. I thought you reached out to him at one point. No?
I did not hear from him.
Is he going by Richard or Dick?
Fanboy. Yes. On this date, August 6th, in 1890, Cy Young won the first of his 511 Major League victories. Pitched the Cleveland.
Did he win a Cy Young that year?
That's not bad. 511 wins. He beat the Cleveland Spiders, so he won for them. Born on this date with Andy Warhol, 1911, Lucille Ball was born in Jamestown, New York on this date. On this date, 1926, the first woman to swim across the English Channel, Gertrude Erdele. This is the worst.
Did you see the guy just did that in a jetpack? Just did the English Channel? Yeah.
Does that mean he had, like, artificial help?
It was like a hoverboard, you know? So it wasn't quite a jetpack, but it was like a hoverboard that, would, you know, operates on the same principle. He had to stop once to refuel, though, at some point.
It does not impress me. Okay. His own power.
All right.
Horrible thing happened on this date. Beatles has Quincy roots. In 1945, the U.S. B-29 Superfortress Enola Gay dropped the big one on Hiroshima. Little boy. There was a Quincy connection to Little
What's
Boy.
What's the Quincy
correct?
Connection?
You're no. Little Boy.
No, the Quincy connection is to Nagasaki.
Oh, that was 3 days later.
Yeah.
That was on August 9th.
Yeah.
What's the Quincy connection?
Charles Sweeney, North Quincy High School graduate, was one of the pilots for the bombing of Nagasaki.
Gotcha.
He also threw out the first pitch at a Red Sox-Mariners game.
Which is interesting, given that the roster featured a number of Japanese players at the time.
I always thought they should have picked another team. That was unfortunate.
Like of all the teams.
Yeah. Ichiro Hasegawa just was not good. On this date, 1965, Lyndon Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act. On this date, 1978, this has sports connections. Pope Paul VI died at the age of 80. When Pope John Paul VI, he was the first pope to visit America. He died in 1978. The Red Sox were in the middle of their free fall collapse against the Yankees. A new pope was... You know,
as a pope,
anointed, whatever they call it,
smoke
there. White smoke came out, and it was John Paul I, who lasted, I believe, less than a week. He did not survive, a month. And
was it Pope John Paul II they put out laid to rest, and everybody just sat there and watched it on our TVs?
Well, John Paul II horrified by it. They had to go get another one,
and that's right.
They made
that's
him
right.
do like 10 push-ups or something, you know, because
and then John, he was around for a long time.
Long time, yeah. John Paul I, not so much. which led to one of Charles Laquadara's, you know, as the Red Sox were in free fall, he was reading the teases at the news, something close to your heart, Hardy, and he said, Pope dies, Sox still alive. Details at 11.
Laquadara, always with the one-liner.
On this date, 1991, the World Wide Web made its first public debut, accessing web pages with the internet thing.
That 91?
Yes.
Huh.
On this date in 2009, Sonia Sotomayor was confirmed as the first Hispanic Supreme Court justice.
Nice.
She was on the field the other night during batting practice, took a photo with Aaron Judge, had the robes going, the whole bit. It was good.
Judge put a robe on?
All rise. No, there's a whole
hear ye.
There's a whole section out there in right field, the jury box.
She sat there. Aaron Judge.
She sat there.
I get it. Yeah,
she sat there.
I couldn't believe it.
Judge, who thought? He'd put a... Mallet.
Another Latina connection is that in Roberto Clemente...
she took a picture with Aaron Judge and Ryan Mallett. Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
Ryan Mallett. It's
right. That's pretty good, though. Roberto Clemente, inducted into the Hall of Fame on this date. The first Latin player.
Nice.
That happened in 1973. Good Pittsburgh connection for you there,
yes, sir.
Last year, the twin Northern California wildfires grew to become the largest wildfires in state history. That was 1 year ago today on this. Bobby Mercer got the winning hit on Mickey on the day that Herman Munson was died. Red Sox.
Herman Munson died?
Oh, boy. 40 years ago. A lot of things happened in August of 1979.
Herman Munster?
See if anybody remembers this. Beetle, you? Well, you're too young.
Okay.
In 2001, Scott Hattieburg hit into a triple play and hit a grand slam in the same game in a 10-7 Red Sox win over the Texas Rangers.
Okay.
Fenway Park, 2001. Triple play and a grand slam. Pretty rare.
That was before Moneyball got a hold of him. And
that's right.
Billy Beane took him in Oakland.
He hit the walk-off home run in the in their 20th straight win.
Yep.
And that is all. Where's the for overtime today?
A couple of things. It's behind you. It's behind you. One, I am reminded that Charles Sweeney, Dan, flew the Great Artiste, which was the blast measurement instrumentation aircraft on the day of the... Hiroshima bombing. Oh. So he did fly a plane that day to measure the...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.